Romans chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about the grace of God and about really understanding the process. I want to start in verse 9, Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Are we, the we is who? The Jews. Are we better than they, the Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Now, you got to think about it for a minute. You got the beginning. The law doesn't enter for 2,500 years. For 2,500 years, there is no law. The commandments don't enter in until then, and it's approximately 1,500 years to the cross. Y'all with me? Now, most people think the law was there from the very beginning. How many thought that at one time? Yeah, most of us. And until I found that out, I started thinking, you know, that's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, the law doesn't hit until almost 3,000 years from the start of the planet Earth. But for 1,500 years, they had the law. And, yes?
Question.
It's too early in the morning for questions. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is only a 499 question.
All right. I want to see that in the plate. All right. Go ahead.
The word Old Testament.
Yes.
Does that refer to the word Testament? Does that refer to the law?
Not necessarily. That's a whole nother sermon, but let me just give you the gist of it. A testament is like when a testator dies. And so whatever was before the new covenant, so it had to do with the law, but it had to do with a lot of other things as well, too. Had to do with the will of God. There's a lot of things involved, just like it would be if you wrote a will. There would be a lot more involved than just a few commandments.
The word Old Testament, does it refer to that period of time where you've got no law?
Yes.
So it's really a misnomer to say all of the Old Testament is the Old Testament. It's really only that part after basically the Mosaic law, right?
Well, no. I mean, I think, biblically speaking, this would be considered Old Testament too. Because there were some actions in there that are very important to understanding, at that point as well. So, you know, the sacrifices and things that they commonly continue to do was part of that testament. But don't get distracted with that. Go to Ephesians. Chapter 2. I want you to listen to this in the light of Romans chapter 3. I hope you held on to Romans 3. We're going to turn back. In Romans chapter 2, I'll just start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and he's talking about the Gentiles outside the covenant, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That is, he's talking about the Gentiles outside the covenant. According to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all. You see that? We all. You need to underline that we all in your Bible. That is everybody. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You got that? That is, the Jews were just as guilty as the Gentiles. There's people today, though, think they're keeping the law, don't think they're guilty, just like the Jews thought. You see, I mean, the whole concept is that it's clear that everybody, we all, were children of wrath, even as others. That whole concept is very, very clear. Go to Galatians and go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. How did the Scripture conclude that? By the law. Listen, they've all had the law for 1,500 years. How many kept it?
None.
There were no humans that kept that. Not one. You know, I mean, it's almost ridiculous to think people today think they're keeping the commandments of God to get to God, when for 1,500 years the people that heard it every Sabbath day, heard it every holy day, heard it every, I mean, over and over, never was able to keep it. The thought of you keeping it is an egomaniac. I mean, you're Gentiles. Do you all understand how crazy that is? The guys that were the closest to the law for 1,500 years, not one single time kept it.
They're the one that's keeping it that don't even know it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, let's look at it again. Verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept up under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. You know what they should have learned? In 1,500 years? We're bad to the bone. They should have learned there ain't none good. 1,500 years, they didn't get it. You know what? It wasn't that God wasn't showing them. I mean, they saw Job. Say, what are you doing, Job? I'm offering another bullock. I mean, how much more could you admit that you were a sinner? What are you doing with that lamb? Well, got to go make a sacrifice. I mean, they should have been able to say, you know, I'm not keeping the law. I'm guilty. Well, look at Gene, what are you carrying those two turtle doves for? I mean, come on, guys. It should have been obvious. But it became such a religion that they got righteous in doing the religion instead of seeing what they really were, which were sinners. And you know that's true today. People today see in, I go to church every day. I tithe. I do all of that. I must be righteous. And I'm telling you, that's what they think. You know, I know. Been there, done that. Go to church, say my prayers at night, pray over my meals. I did all the action. But I wasn't getting what the action should have been telling me. You know, how many times do we pray, Lord, forgive us of our sins? Lord, forgive. But you know what we should have been saying? Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm not worth it. I love Brother Moore. I mean, he used to say, you know what? You ain't worth a gunpowder to blow you into hell. Well, that got it. Whew, woke me up. I thought I was at least worth the gunpowder. Nope. Found out I wasn't. Go back to Romans chapter 3. So, the Jews had a really hard hump to overcome. They were given the laws, the covenants, and all that. They were given that. That was a gift from God. But they didn't get it. In fact, they got it so bad that when Jesus finally showed up, They didn't even know who he was. That's how bad it was when Jesus showed up. In fact, Jesus went into the temple and turned the money changers over. Does anybody here know what the money changers were doing? Well, not selling idols. Selling sacrifices. Come get your sacrifice. So you wouldn't have to take your own sacrifice and diminish your own herd or your own flock or whatever. And they were merchandising it like selling books. And I see that going on again today too, don't we? Religion has come in. And you know what? Listen, you know, the point of the church, Carlton says, you know, I do wonder why this church isn't totally packed, because if I lived really in this world and really looked in the mirror of life, I'd want grace. There wouldn't be any question that I would want grace. Outside of grace, there wouldn't be any hope for me. Think about it. There's people that are grabbing at hope that because they go to church and they pay their money and they do all those things, that isn't what God's interested in. God's interested in you. Look at it again, verse 9, Romans 3, verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they're all under sin. I'd put Romans chapter 3, verse 22 there. Romans 3, verse 23, which we're going to read next. We have proved. Hey, it isn't a question. The proof is out. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Well, where did he say that? Look in Romans chapter 2 for just a minute. This kind of nails it, I think. Y'all in Romans chapter 2, look in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be what? Well, how many has kept the law? Then guess how many is going to be justified?
None.
I mean, look, it's not just sitting and listening to church messages. It isn't about all that. I did that for years lost. I did it without any moving toward the Lord at all. If anything, I was moving further away. That's fascinating. Go back to Romans chapter 3 and read with me in verse 23. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? There isn't a good person in this room.
Amen.
Especially since Jim showed up.
Double amen.
I'm glad I'm not the IRS. I could probably find where he might lie on his taxes. Yeah. Oh, you too, Larry. I've seen yours. You know, come on. You know, I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, most of us are liars, amen?
Amen.
And if we don't lie, we certainly stretch the truth a little bit, amen?
Amen.
Oh, I know, you'd like it to sound really good. My job is to make it sound really bad.
Stan don't lie. Yeah, he sets up pretty straight.
Oh, Stan, there ain't none good.
They're
all liars. Do you believe everybody in here is a liar? How many here believes everybody in here is a liar?
Amen.
Yeah, we're all liars. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We're all liars. We've all bear false witness. We're all breakers of the law. We're all guilty before God. We deserve the punishment that He's laid out. That's hell. We all deserve it. There isn't any doubt in my mind I could take you, bring the law upon you, and see if you're really good. How many love God with all their mind, heart, and soul? Anybody in there?
Uh-oh. That's the first one, bro.
That's just the first commandment. How many here has ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Never taken the Lord's name in vain? You ever cussed a little bit? Anybody in here cussed?
People in text put O-M-G.
Oh my God. O-M-G. Oh, I don't take the Lord's name in vain. O-M-G. See, the problem is we don't equate sin anymore. It's like adultery. Or premarital sex. It's like it's okay, everybody's doing it. Isn't that true? It seems like let's just leave that one alone. Everybody's doing it. You can't get them to church hammering on that kind of thing. Really? What, is it okay now? Well, everybody's doing it. You got to be light on the kids or you're going to make them upset. Really? I thought the whole point of the law was to show them that they were guilty and that they needed a Savior.
Amen.
And I thought that was the whole point of the thing. We don't want to talk about sin anymore. We don't want to talk about grace. We want to talk about how great you are. See, we want to use a very positive Joel Osteen. God loves you. Kind of approach. And what I want to do is tell you the truth about you. And you know the problem is just telling people the truth is that they don't like me. They think I'm a jerk. Well, I got good news. I am a jerk. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. Go to Galatians chapter 4. See, I do believe I'm a jerk. Not quite as big of a jerk as Wayne, but still a pretty big jerk.
Amen. Oh, me. I don't know which.
Verse 16 says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know what? My brother-in-law used to walk up to me and say, you know what, Barry? You're fat. That used to offend me until I realized he was honest. I love that being at Bible conferences. I've lost a little bit of weight. I've gone from about a 46-inch waist down to a 40. They said, Barry, you've really lost weight. And I realized I really haven't lost any weight. It's all the other preachers getting fat. I look skinnier. You know what I mean? It looks better when other people catch up with you. I used to tell him, I said, you're right, I am fat, but I'm glad I'm not like you, poor and ugly. He says, you sure know how to be honest. Yep, amen. You see, guys, sometimes the truth hurts, amen. I remember Brother Moore telling me that I wasn't any good, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with that man? And instead of trying to be mean at me, he was trying to bring me to the Lord. He was trying to show me my need of a Savior. He was trying to break down that pride inside my concrete heart. And you know what he did to break it down? The truth. He kept telling me the truth about me. I'd sit in the audience thinking, he's talking about me. I don't know if any of y'all have ever felt that. Oh, Barry's trying to preach right at me. Well, if it's the Word of God, it's preaching to whoever needs it. Go back to Romans chapter 3. Verse 9 again. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. How many?
All.
As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Is Billy Graham righteous?
No.
Boy, you guys were awfully fast to answer. Slow down a little bit. How about the Pope?
No.
Come on, how about Joel Osteen?
No.
You know how many are righteous?
None.
There's none righteous.
Isn't that Benny Hahn?
Yeah, he's not righteous either? No.
He's really just got a swatan.
I know, make people fat.
How about Barry Hampton?
Nope.
No.
We've all fallen short, and it doesn't matter if you're way up there, like Larry, or me, like that. That Larry, that's me.
Short is short.
That's right. That's Larry, that's me. No, it doesn't matter. There's none righteous. And you know what you have to do to get in? Well, you have to be righteous. Just righteousness. You have to have righteousness. It would have to equal his righteousness, but it's righteousness what you need. Well, hold on. If that's true, and there's none righteous, no, not one, how many are going to get in?
None.
Now, at this point, you should go, yikes. Whoa. If righteous is what you need to get in, and that's what you need to get in, but the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. Can you say that?
Whoa.
You're in trouble. See, Romans 3 is trying to tell you that you need something other than you to get in. You can't get in on your own. Verse 10 again. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, I thought about that verse a lot. There is none that understandeth. For 1,500 years, how many got it? There is none that understandeth. They didn't get the whole point of the law. They didn't really understand it. You know what? I didn't get it until a few years ago. About 25 years ago. That's a few years, right?
Amen.
You see, I thought I got it. I thought God wanted me to keep the law. I thought God wanted me to be good boy and girl. You know, I thought that's what God wanted me to be. Not so much the girl part. He wanted me to be when I was young, I was a girl. Okay, that's a lie.
I think he tried telling me that when I was four.
Uh-huh, and he believed it too. She thought I was a girl.
He didn't grow up to be a man.
Wow. I transformed. My dad has a picture of him standing on a mule in a nightgown. Shooting a bow and arrow. And he used to tease it, said, because he had two older sisters. He was the first boy. He had to wear all their night dresses. You know? And so he would say in the morning, when we saw that picture, he says, yeah, this is back when I was a little girl. That's where that whole thing got started. I thought it was funny, so I just kept it up. Why are you rolling your eyes?
It's not true.
It is not true. I was never a little girl. I was a little frog. So my wife kissed me and I became a prince. All right. There's none that understand it. You know how I know? Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. They didn't understand. Say, what do you mean they didn't understand? They did not get it. Why? Moreover, the law entered. All right, hang on. I got it here. Who did it enter with?
Moses.
Moses. And it was 2,500 years after Adam. Moses got it. Got it? 1,500 years, it's now ran to the cross. Actually, 3,500 years about now. But watch this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might what? That you might, hey, that you might go, you know what? I'm not doing all the things in this law. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Man, that's important. Amen. The whole idea is that we should have realized what sin was. You know what sin is? Transgression of the law. How many broke the law for that 1,500 years?
All
of them. Well, why didn't they understand what was going on? Pride, arrogance, haughty attitude, ego. Well, look at me, I'm really doing something great. Really? You really think that? We are sold into a system, and Satan is running the... Hey, the crazies are running the insane asylum. That's the problem. And that's what happened to Israel. These Pharisees and all these religious leaders got in and told them they ought to keep the law. In fact, they wouldn't even keep it, but they wanted other people to keep it. Go to Matthew 23. Are y'all learning anything this morning? Yes, sir.
When you think about it, in the biblical times we're speaking, not everybody had a Bible anyhow.
That's right.
So they did depend on the Pharisees and, you know, the folks of wisdom to relate this to them. But what's the excuse? What is the excuse for today's religious bodies out there? When everybody's got the Bible on their coffee table.
Well, it's the same stuff. I mean, listen, let me tell you what. How many here had a Bible before they came to the truth?
Amen.
Anybody understand it?
No.
It was kind of vague and ambiguous. We would just operate based upon, I mean, it's that old, when you die, do you go to heaven? You know, pearly gates, streets of gold, you know, mansions. We heard that all our lives. We find out that isn't necessarily the way it is.
The Bible wasn't vague and ambiguous.
No, but people that were teaching the Bible,
right.
And but you had the Bible at that point, so you could have checked it out. You know what? Nobody does it on their own.
It wasn't user-friendly at that time.
Well, it was user-friendly if you understood the key. So the problem, we didn't have the key. And hopefully I'll get to that. Watch this in Matthew 23. These people... These religious leaders of the time wanted to put the burden on you, but they wouldn't lift it with one of their fingers. They wanted you to keep the commandments, even though they weren't keeping. And God said, you know, look what he said. Verse 1, 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus unto the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. What he's trying to say is you're only righteous if you do the whole thing. You go to Romans chapter 2. I'm going to start in 20. Well, 19. Art thou confident, thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes? which has the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal. Does thou steal? Does thou steal? I've stolen. Well, what would be the value of me telling you not to steal when I'm guilty of it as my... You see, they would teach saying, thou that saith a man should not commit adultery. Does thou commit adultery? Thou that hoardest idols, does thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law dishonoreth thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, through Israel, as it is written. The circumcision verily profiteth thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You're just as guilty as a Gentile. You see, guys, it isn't about all the religious acts you're doing. The fact is you're not any good. There isn't a good person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous. There's a problem. And men won't wake up to it. They think, well, I tithe. I give my money. I do this. Big deal. Big deal. God's not impressed with you. God is impressed with Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. Go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous?
None.
Are you righteous?
No.
No. There is none that understandeth. How many understood it?
None.
They didn't get it. They were all coming short. They were all teaching people not to lie, but they themselves were caught in lies. There is none that seeketh after God. That's the other issue. Well, I need God in my life. Really. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, most of the time when God finds us, we're running away from Him. Hey, what part of God did you see? I don't know. I wasn't looking. I was just running. That's how the truth is. Well, I'm just so religious. I sought God at an old-fashioned altar. Really? The Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. But I did. I sought God. No, you're a liar.
It looked good on TV.
It does look good. Verse 12 says they've all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You need to put Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 right there in your Bible. You know what that says? There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You need to write that in your Bible. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Said in verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. What do you think about an open sepulcher? Does anybody think about that? What does that mean to you?
It's an open wound, isn't it?
An open grave. What would you think about an open grave? It stinks. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used deceit. Anybody try to deceive anybody? The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Oh, I wish God, I wish somebody would have dealt me a better hand. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eye. You know, we're talking about this generation. I see on all the trucks. I'm a pick-em-up truck kind of guy. Well, the Jaguar doesn't look as good with, but you know, they say, no fear. No fear. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No fear. You know what? There will be fear. I can promise you. When they stand before a holy and righteous God, undone and unclean, unrighteous, when they stand before that holy judge, they will drop to their knees like little wimps. You know what the Bible says the devil looks like? A worm. They say, this is him? This is he? That destroyed the earth? This is him? He'll sit there like a little crying baby. Are you listening to me? You will stand before a holy and righteous God in a way that you will be embarrassed of your undoneness before all men. Why would someone want that? Why wouldn't they just trust the Lord? Why wouldn't they just come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus? What would stop them? Pride and arrogance and a haughty spirit? Self-righteousness? Well, self-righteousness isn't enough to drive you into home base. You need the righteousness of God. But you know what? I've got great news. The righteousness of God is available. And you know, it's not just available to one person or a couple people. It's available to anybody who wants it. That's really an amazing thing about grace. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then you know the question should be is how do I get in that? How do I get in Christ? That's what I want to get in.
Amen.
Because he's a new creature. He's not going to be the same old guy. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Here's the greatest line in the Bible, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Man, is that great?
Amen.
God's not imputing. You know what? If God was imputing your trespasses onto you, you'd be in deep, well, you know, dung. You'd be in deep dung. That's spiritual. I can use that word.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Bill, can I use that word dung?
You use whatever word you want to.
Thank you, brother. I was gonna use a more modern translation, but thought I'd get myself in trouble. I was gonna say doo-doo. Well, dung is doo-doo. Huh?
Poo.
Oh, he's got a baby. It's poo. I don't understand. You know, there is a progression of cussing. You know, oh, the baby went poo. You can't say doo-doo because the baby will go, oh, that's doo-doo. So you don't teach them. But eventually they figure out it's doo-doo. And you know, about 14 or 15, they figure out the other word. It's really kind of funny, actually. You know, it's like a progression to learn how to cuss. First it's poo, then it's doo-doo. And if you're spiritual, you throw in dung somewhere in there. And then it's... Yeah. God's not imputing your trespasses unto you. And have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the greatest stuff in the Bible. Verse 21, look at verse 21. For he, that is God, had made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, thank God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, I'm in Christ. Guess what? You're looking, take a good look, because this is, you know, you're looking at someone as righteous as Almighty God. Now, I had never done anything to be righteous. In fact, just the opposite's true. All my righteousness are as filthy rags. Did you understand? Everything I could gather up and mustered up and put in front of you personally would be nothing more than filthy rags. That's what Isaiah says. But I've been imputed or accounted or God gave me his righteousness.
Amen.
You know, Rick came up and asked why I wasn't driving the Jaguar, and I said the battery's out, and whoever put my CD player in calls it short. But if I got a thing working and Gabe Rick, the CD player, the Jaguar. Whose Jaguar would it be?
You.
Huh?
If you gave it to him, it'd be you.
It'd be his. He'd be in possession of the gift that I gave him. He wouldn't go, well, this is Barry's Jaguar. What would he say? Barry gave me this Jaguar. I really love Barry. Hey, he gave me a Jaguar. And then Jaguar, after you own one, it's Jaguar. But you'd go, wow. Wow, Barry gave him a Jaguar. But you would think it was whose Jaguar? His. God gives His righteousness to every individual that will believe Him. Just gives it to you. Say, well, how righteous are you? I'm as righteous as God. Well, how'd you get that way? He gave it to me. He imputed it to me. He gave it to me as a gift.
Amen.
Okay, one hallelujah would be okay.
Hallelujah.
That's the grace of God. There is none good, no, not one. They've all sinned. People say, well, what's the deal here? The deal is there's a lot of lost people out there thinking they've got to do something to impress God. Some think studying their Bible will get them there. No, no, no. It's believing what Christ did for you. What did He do for you? You know, God made His Son to be sin for you. He took all of your sin, all of them, and placed them upon His lovely Son, and His lovely Son died in your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It doesn't get any better. Name a place that doesn't get better. Well, I want to walk the aisle for Jesus. You can't do that. It's already been done. So, well, I want to repent right now of it. No, it's already been done. He's offering the gift. All you have to do is receive. All you got to do is receive the finished work of Calvary. Totally paid the price. Isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is receive. It's that simple. It's already been done. Say, well, I want to do something for it. No, you can't do it. It reminds me of that illustration Brother Moore used to use about the boat. He saw that drowning man, and he went down to reach for that drowning man, and that drowning man grabbed onto his hand. He says, no, I can't allow you to grab onto my arm, because if you do, you'll break. I grabbed onto that man's arm and hung on. I said, I need you to relax and I will save you. The guy goes, I'm drowning. Just relax. I'll get you. He goes down to reach, and that man grabs him again. He said, no. If you grab onto my arm, you'll be able to brag about it. You'll be able to tell people I grabbed onto his arm, and it won't give me the glory. Just relax and I'll grab you. The man just finally relaxed, and he pulls the man in. Who saved him? You see? But the other guy doesn't have anything to brag about. And that's how it is. If you walk the aisle for Jesus, or if you've said a sinner's prayer, or if you've counted on something in your life, then you're lost here this morning. I don't care who you are. Don't care what walk. And you know what? It doesn't happen 14 times in a lifetime. It happens once. On a very specific day that God is holding you accountable to. You all take a 10-minute break.